the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Joe Shea and Elaine Burke with us for the last word in TV and streaming. And Elaine, every year, I think going back, I don't know how many years to this stage, the most watched TV program of the year in this country is
The Late Late Toy Show.
Not this year, apparently. Already in March, we have something that looks like The Late Late Toy Show won't be able to knock off the number one spot.
Not yet. It's not number one yet. Give it to the end of the year. But yes, at the moment, there is a very strong contender in the heartbreak that was Thursday night's World Cup qualifier game against Czechia. They had a peak audience of 1.6 million. And that was at a late stage in the game. It peaked at after half 10 because we had extra time and we had penalties. And that gives people lots of time to be seen in the group chat that this is something we're tuning into. It could be historical. Let's take a look at it. So that was the peak. But the average audience throughout the broadcast was 1.37 million. And the toy show last year got an average audience of 1.7 million. So it's still off last year's toy show.
But what about the RT player when you add that in as well? Apparently lots of people watch the football via that.
Over a million streams on the RT player. The highest number for any single event ever shown on the player.
So add that to your TV numbers and you've got more than the toy show.
And it could beat the toy show on the player streams. I don't know if the toy show will have that kind of appetite on the player. But we'll see. I don't know. I still believe in the toys.
Which makes you think, Joe, that they must be wailing and gnashing of teeth in RTE at the lost revenue that they might have anticipated had Ireland got to the World Cup during the summer, while the rest of us are sad that we're not going to enjoy the whole community spirit of all getting involved and lots of people would have gone over and the rest of it. For RTE, there would have been a lot of extra hard cash, presumably, from all the numbers watching the matches.
Yeah, but it's not just RTE. I mean, it's every media organisation in the country. It's Harvey Norman. It's the electronic stores. It's the, you know, it's the breweries. It's the publicans. A summer World Cup with Ireland is an economic, you know, rocket, basically. People buying new TVs, you know, people getting in, garden furniture because they're going to have a big party and a barbecue because around the games and stuff like that. So it's a huge problem. It's estimated they've lost about a 2 million direct sort of like boost on what they would have got. That's just through extra advertising around the World Cup. There's also a lot of knock-on effects around it all as well. I mean, you know, in terms of like eyeballs on programmes, it's huge. In terms of social media for RT and for everybody else, it's huge as well. It's a big, big loss for the media ecosystem in Ireland.
I'm thinking more of the enjoyment of the people of the country, Joe.
Yeah, I know you got to look at it from pounds, a shilling and pence, you know, first of all. But it, of course, I mean, it would have given everybody a lift. It would have been, well, that's assuming that the World Cup in Trump's America would have gone well. Maybe we kind of look back in it and kind of go, geez, thank God we weren't involved in that. You know, we didn't want guys, Irish fans ending up in gulags in Guatemala, you know, so maybe we dodged a bullet. Who knows?
Okay. Something else that, you know, we haven't had in many years. Harry Potter was a phenomenon in the early years of the century and the books, then the movies. Now we have the TV series. Tell us about the trailer for the TV series, Elaine.
It has become the most watched trailer in HBO's history. They dropped it during the week there and it's surpassed 300 million views. It's still ticking up, I'd imagine, at this point as well. So it shows that there is a lot of anticipation about this. I would caveat that all internet figures come with the note that there are a lot of bots online and there's a lot of views that are driven by people who are actually covering a story about the amount of views and things like that as well. And with a story as high profile as Harry Potter, you will get a lot of what I would call inorganic views tacking on to that total. But it certainly is a huge amount of views for a trailer.
Okay, but what's in the trailer that makes it so interesting?
I don't think there's anything particularly interesting in the trailer. I think people just want to see, like, how does John Lithgow look like Dumbledore? How does Nick Frost look like as Hagrid? How do the kids look? Do they fit people's vision of how the kids look? And I suppose there's probably going to be interest in this as well for the pedigree of the people who are behind it as well. You've got two of the writers who worked, writer and director who worked on Succession, bringing a certain darkness to the show there. But also Francesca Gardner, who's the showrunner, she worked on His Dark Materials. Now, that was definitely critically acclaimed, but if I recall correctly, didn't really capture audience. It's another fantasy novel series adaptation that went to TV. So probably an uphill struggle for her with this one to do the same, because she's also going to suffer from constant comparison to the movies that already exist. But I do think there's kind of a guaranteed audience with Harry Potter stuff. No matter what you do, what you put out, there is people going to sit down, take a look, buy merchandise around this property.
Why not, Joe, show the children the old Harry Potter movies rather than having to show them the new TV series?
Because, well, where's the money to be made in that? I mean, you know, everybody's seen the old Harry Potter movies like a million billion times. So you know, this is a chance to reboot.
New generations, new kids. Yeah. Can't they be, you know, as they grow up as the 6, 7, 8 year olds who weren't around when all this came out, just show them the movies now, introduce them to the books.
Yeah, but this is seven. This is they're going to get 7 seasons out of this. They're going to do each season's going to be one of the books. So I mean, this is we're talking vast amounts of money to be made here. You know, so that's why they're making. That's why Disney are rebooting and doing live action versions of all of their old classics as well, including the Moana thing, which looks like an absolute nightmare. The trailer that I saw.
They're not good
with The Rock in it.
They're not good, but they make money.
They make money.
Parents just want constant content for kids, I think.
It is. It's like, you know, no parent in Ireland is going to get away with not having this. You know, the kids are going to want access to it. And that means they have to keep paying for the streaming and they have to, you know, the eyeballs are going to be on the streaming service. So it does, unfortunately, come down to just how can we beat some more money out of this franchise.
Okay, another franchise that did brilliantly for Netflix was The Crown. And the upcoming Netflix series on the Kennedys has been marketed to an extent as an American version of The Crown. And when I heard about this, Elaine, I thought, actually, that's a very clever idea, isn't it? That's a really good idea. And then you see they must be putting big bucks into it, because you got the likes of Michael Fassbender, who's going to be in the early part of the series as Joe Kennedy Sr., the scion of the family.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you're really, really right to compare it to The Crown, because as long as there's been this continued fascination with the royal family, there's a similar, like the Kennedys could be seen as a royal family.
It's an American version of
the States. Yeah, and they've got, you know, the Kennedy curse. There is kind of a mythology that you can build up around their stories as well. And Fassbender is playing Joe Kennedy Sr. I wouldn't know a lot about Joe Kennedy Sr., so I couldn't tell you if he looks the part or anything like that, but he certainly looks slick. It's going to be, you know, a prestige drama. And like, cashing in on this whole Kennedy story, Disney Plus is having an absolute storm of it with the love story that Ryan Murphy has done about John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessett. So Netflix is probably rubbing their hands in glee that they already have something in the works that can tack on onto the tail end of that. Now, we don't know when this is coming out, but I'd imagine possibly early next year.
Maybe even late this year.
Maybe if they can rush the production, because they've just gone into production.
Oh, it's only just gone into production.
Yeah.
This is interesting, Joe, because they would have a very similar timescale to what The Crown was able to do. Because The Crown really started, didn't it, with Queen Elizabeth, which would have been back around 1920s. If you take Joe Kennedy, would have been very involved around the time of the crash on Wall Street, then into the 30s. Yeah. He was sent as the wartime ambassador to Britain by the United States. There's a lot of stuff there. You've got deaths of children, you've got alcohol use, you have drugs, you have lots of sex. Yeah. This is absolutely tailor-made for five or six series.
Yeah, it's blockbuster stuff. And what will be fascinating is, like, Joe Kennedy, and people may not be fully aware, but there's a lot of evidence that Joe Kennedy was an absolute monster of a man, right? And even to go back to where the money came from, you know, there's strong evidence that he was connected with the mafia, basically, in bootlegging and in all sorts of criminal activity, insider training. But also Gore Vidal, who was related to Jackie Kennedy, the stuff that he alleged Joe Kennedy did, I mean, makes the guy a monster, right? So the father of all the Kennedys was a by some accounts a terrible person, and what he did in when he was ambassador to UK, he was brought home from London in absolute disgrace, because he basically said the Nazis have won, we should abandon the Brits, they haven't a hope, and it's time to throw in with Hitler, or at least we should deal with him. So what will be fascinating to me is, how will they deal with Joe Kennedy? Will they whitewash it? Will they just say, well, he was a controversial guy and he was all this kind of stuff, or will they actually try and go a bit deeper and tell the truth about what actually happened?
Okay. Something we should mark as well, perhaps, and Joe, I'll stay with you in this because I know you're an on-air contributor, and I should also declare that my wife is a weekly contributor to the Today Show on RTE. Maura Duran, Doughty O'Shea, the hosts. It celebrated last week, 2000 episode. This really is a staple of RTE's daily viewership, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And Sinead Kennedy was on it as well. The three of them presented it, I know, because I was on the 2000 show, because I'm, as you say, I'm regularly on the show. So what's very interesting about the Today Show is it was set up during the kind of, it, as the crash, the, you know, the effects were happening from the last crash in 2012. It found an audience, and it found a place in Cork as well. And it's an anchor show in many respects for RTE. It kind of anchors their whole daytime TV and going into the evening kind of schedule. It's been, by every measure, a real success, and it's consistent, and it always have the audience, and it, year after year, it delivers for RTE. And it shows as well, because RTE are talking about doing a lot more programming from Cork and, you know, revamping the studio or building a new studio and doing new shows and new programs. It shows what can be done on with a relatively small team outside of Dublin and still be the success that it has been. So, I mean, like I said, 2,000 shows. You've got to be doing something right at that stage.
Congratulations to them. Elaine, staying with Cork, the Young Offenders back this weekend. Are you looking forward to that?
I am, because in this season we'll actually get the two lads together in a scene and shot in the same place, because we didn't have that in the last season. I don't know why they tried to make that happen. So scheduling conflicts, Chris Whalley has been doing pretty well, getting himself some roles in some big Hollywood films and the likes of that. So they actually didn't have Chris Whalley to film the last season of Young Offenders. So he's in it, but he's not in it. You know, he's squirreled away. I think it's actually revealed in the trailer for the new show. He was arrested and he's in jail basically for the duration of the last season. And they don't actually have the two central characters of the Young Offenders that are the magic of the show properly interacting for the duration of a series. This season corrects that. They bring the two guys back together, and it's starting on BBC Friday and RTE Saturday, because this is a co-production BBC and RTE. BBC getting a first ahead of RTE, but last time there was a big gap between the scheduling of it on RTE, so they're actually much tighter this time. And I'm definitely going to give it another go. I'm hoping that they can claw it back. But I do think the magic of The Young Offenders was that early season and the first film, and it is going to peter out. You know, it's one of those things.
What's your pick of the week, Elaine?
It is the return of Race Across the World. This show has been running for a long time, and I just always really enjoy it. It's a mix of a travel show and a reality competition. And it comes back BBC on Thursday. And essentially they get teams of two. They drop them into a location that they don't know where they're going to be going to or leaving from. And they ask them to journey from remote location to remote location with no phones, no flights, and a very, very limited budget. I think it amounts to something like £26 a day or something like that for your transport, for your accommodation, for everything. And that makes for some very interesting dynamics. It makes for some very interesting cultural touch points as well, as they're trying to get past, say, the language in different places, trying to navigate different places without having the substitute of a phone that can translate everything for you and guide you everywhere. It really shows the challenge of traveling before we had all this technology. And this season looks really interesting. They're going to start in Palermo in Sicily. Probably won't be very challenging there, very tourist friendly. But they're going to go from Italy to Greece to Turkey to Georgia to Kazakhstan to Uzbekistan to Kyrgyzstan, and then the final destination of Mongolia.
What's your pick of the week, Joe?
A few years ago, there was an incredible show on Channel 4 called The Undateables, which was basically following people who, for a whole load of reasons, would struggle to find people to date, relationships, companionships. And it was really, really well done, and people really, really loved it. There's a show on Netflix from Wednesday. It's returning. It's a new season of it. It's called Love on the Spectrum. And it's fascinating, because I think autism and neurodivergence is very much something that we talk about a lot more these days. We're more aware of them. People are more aware of what it all is. This is Love on the Spectrum basically follows people who are on the spectrum, who are trying to find relationships and companionships. And it's done really, really well, because this could be, this is a very, you have to tread a very fine line here when you're doing these kind of shows. It could be, you know, exploitative, it could be mawkish, it could be, you know, but they do it really, really well. And it's very life-affirming TV. So if you're looking for something that's, you know, that's going to cheer you up, that's going to give you a fascinating look at people, you know, trying to get on in life and do their best in life, Love on the Spectrum, Netflix from Wednesday. Great
We've
shot.
Lots of great comments coming in about TV and streaming. Anthony in Bray says, can you imagine how pissed off Trump is going to be to hear the Kennedy family described as America's equivalent to the royal family? How long will it be before he suggests that Jeff Bezos makes a show about his dynasty? It's going to happen. I can just see it now. Yeah, it'll definitely be the Trump. Another one says, in relation to the Kennedys, Carol Ann says, let it be better than the love story on Disney. Shocking, except for the soundtrack. You can treble screen while watching it. Another one, quite a few people in relation to Harry Potter. One says, the TV series will be more true to the books, where the movies cherry-picked from the books, so Harry Potter fans will enjoy the TV series for that reason. And another one, similar lines, the movie skipped over a lot of details from the Harry Potter books. As an adult, I'm excited for the TV series. And then here's a great one. What next, Matt? Casablanca, the mini series. Right. Thank you very much, Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.